Yeah. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host on that late night creep, Tariq Nasheed, ready to chop up some good game. Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by BWOtraining.com. You have brothers like Derek Grace, Jake Taylor Jacobs, brother Ben X, Chris Cole, and 19 Keys. They decided to merge their best intellectual properties together to create a super company, and it's the Black World Order. That's a wealth academy, networking platform, investment group, and think tank all wrapped up in one. So check them out, BWOtraining.com, BWOtraining.com, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know that we're live right now. We're going to be chopping up some good game. Everybody hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button. Let everybody know it's real. We're going to take that quick commercial break, guys, so y'all don't move a muscle. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuses to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a black nerd podcast that covers topics like anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, and other topics that black nerds can relate to? Then you need to check out the podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, the TV guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide empowerment to black nerds everywhere. So that is swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y, swarthynerd.com.
It's tax time again. Let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal and business taxes. Clark Pro Taxes will not stop until you get your maximum refund. Go to clarkprotaxes.com now and schedule your free consultation with the owner, Victoria Clark. That's clarkprotaxes.com.
Starting a garden has never been so easy at this time. So check out myseedsnow.com. With our 100% organic heirloom non-hybridized non-GMO seeds, we want everyone to be successful at growing their own organic gardens. We have culinary herbs, wildflower seeds, vegetables, and fruit sampler packs, all starting at just 99 cents. We even have sprouts and microgreens you can grow in the comfort of your home. Come join the fun and start growing your own organic food at myseedsnow.com. Once again, that's myseedsnow.com.
What's up, family? You guys need to check out this cookie company out of Houston, Texas called The Cookie Confidant. Man, they sell these beautiful, delicious, huge cookies right out of Houston, Texas, man. And the brother has been in business since 2017. And I've tried these cookies, man. They are bomb, bomb, bomb. Very delicious. My personal favorite are the chocolate chip pecan cookies, man. They are bomb. Y'all need to go to cookieconfidant.com. to get these cookies. Black owned company, man. They got chocolate chip peanut butter cookies, white chocolate cookies with sprinkles, man. So anything you like in a cookie, they got it. So again, go to cookieconfidant.com. That's cookieconfidant.com. What's up, family? If you want to keep your car clean inside and out, you need to do it with Royal Canary. Royal Canary is the best car detailing product on the market right now. It's a premium car detailing product that will beat any product on the market guaranteed, and it's not just the first, but it's the only black-owned car detailing product on the market. So no more using all of those old, outdated, greasy, watered-down products. Step your game up at royalcanary.com. That's royalcanary.com, and use the coupon code FBA to get 5% off on your purchase. royalcanary.com.
Hey, I found the perfect stimulus check flip. I started an on-demand beauty supply store. I keep my merchandise at home. My customers order from me online and I deliver the same day. The hair care industry alone is grossing over $80 billion a year, and now I'm part of it. Stop buying products and learn how to sell them the easy way. Go to OnDemandBeautyBiz.com and learn this business model for yourself. That's OnDemandBeautyBiz.com.
Do you need to get your credit in order? Check out TradeLines with Gamba.com. On this website, run by credit expert Brother New, you will learn how to boost your credit score, and you will learn how to get help on funding your own business. There is also a do-it-yourself credit repair kit. Get started now at TradeLinesWithGamba.com. Gamba is spelled G-A-M-B-A.
Are you struggling to keep your health and fitness-related New Year's resolutions? Are you wanting to try a fresh fitness routine? If so, check out the new Fit Body Bootcamp Virtual Fitness Coaching Program. This is a bootcamp-style virtual studio where you have fun while working out anywhere. Virtual membership includes unlimited virtual sessions, accountability coaching, nutrition coaching, and much more. For more information, email us at info@naperfitbody.com or call us at 224-392-9972.
The past year has been a great loss for so many people. Processing the news of the passing of a loved one is never easy. A million things go through your mind at once. One thing we know at Chamar Monuments is at the end of the day, the memory of your loved one must live on. We are here to help you create a custom monument to honor your loved one's life. Call us today at 866-974-0419 or visit us at chamarmonuments.co for more information. Let us assist you in creating an everlasting memory. That's chamarmonuments.co.
What's going on, family? Check out the mobile app C-Watch. Now, this is a mobile app security company on Google Play that helps users secure their community by notifying users when members have made contact with law enforcement. This app also has a feature that will alert most frequent contacts or friends on your phone when they've made it safely at the crib in regular everyday circumstances. So you need to check out C-Watch because they offer both a solution for police brutality as well as a sense of security for the users of the app. So again, check out C-Watch on the Google Play Store.
Want to start a new career? Want to make $50 an hour or more from home? Do you find yourself in a dead-end job that's going nowhere fast? Reach out to Lift and Avail IT Academy. We will train you in database development and business intelligence.
Go to LTVAcademy.com. That's LTVAcademy.com.
Thanks to Stubb, I've been working in the IT industry for over a year, full-time.
Just got an offer for, 74, I guess it breaks down to, $1,000 a year.
That's LTVAcademy.com.
Now that entertainment venues are reopening, LightspeedTickets.com is the place to get all your sports, concert, and theater tickets. We guarantee that we'll beat out 90% of the competition with our ticket prices. People who buy tickets to resell love us too. Go to LightspeedTickets.com, your go-to site for event tickets around the world. That's LightspeedTickets.com.
Have you been gaining a lot of weight since the COVID-19 pandemic? Ladies and gentlemen, do you have a weak upper body? Ladies, do you feel insecure when a man looks at you from behind because you feel like your butt isn't round enough? If you answer yes to any of these questions, Salomon's Fitness World can help you achieve your fitness goals. Salomon offers customized online personal training, makes and sells ankle, booty, and power resistance bands to strengthen, stretch, and tone your whole body. Order your resistance bands now at solomonsfitnessworld.com. Enter discount code TARIQ to save 15% on your bundle order. www.solomonsfitnessworld.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave a op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I said, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
Oh, we're here. What's going on, guys? We're here. We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Late night creep. You know how we do it sometimes. We do a late night joint. But I'm here. I hope everybody's getting ready for the new buck-breaking movie coming at the end of the month. Buckbreakingmovie.com. That's where you can get information about the buck-breaking film. You will be able to get it on DVD and then a few weeks after that, you will have it on demand where you can download or view it by stream. But we're going to have the DVDs available first. So you guys get ready for that. Go to buckbreakingmovie.com, ladies and gentlemen. So a lot of stuff we got to get into. I just want to get right on into it. Shout out to everybody who's up late. I need y'all since you're up late. And a lot of folks are doing something strange for some change. Get up off that pussy for about 5 minutes. Hit that thumbs up button. Hit that like button. Ladies, get that dick out your mouth and hit that like button. I know it's late and I know you're doing some things. I know you got to get that little, you got to get them stimulus packages out of niggas. But I'm going to need you to hit that thumbs up button. I need you to hit that like button. Dude, all my dudes down in Atlanta, wipe your bussy up for about 10 minutes and just hit that like button. Hit that like button and just let everybody know that we're live. And then you can go back to your activity after you hit that like button. You understand? Got to hit that damn like button. And hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. But we are here. Yes, we are. There's a lot of stuff that we got to get into tonight, a lot of things we have to cover. Today's topic, the theme is us focusing on our problems. I want us to get into the habit, as our brother Neely Fuller talks about. We got to start becoming problem solvers as Black people. We have to start looking at problems and dealing with them. See, we have a lot of ways to deal with problems, and really it's about avoidance. A lot of times, man, we do everything we can to avoid our problems. We start drinking, drugging, all of this stuff. This is an avoidance thing. Instead of dealing with your problems, let's just self-medicate. Instead of dealing with problems, let's just party all the time. Let's go to the club and turn up every other day. Let's find a party and just get busy. See, that's an avoidance mechanism. Us just going out to party all the time, all the clubs, all the time. There's a time and place for everything. But the thing is, we're doing it to medicate. That's why when we get to parties, after a while, what happens at Black parties, Black clubs? Niggas get to shooting, fighting. Let's go to spring break. Let's avoid our problems. Let's not discuss our problem. Let's go somewhere and party. And when you go to spring break, we saw what happened down there in Miami. Hood rats fighting all in the damn streets. Because the problems are still there. The symptoms are still there. The anger and the frustration is still there. So we got to get out of this habit of avoiding the problem by getting into these false pleasure situations. Let's just lay up with each other and bang all the time to get our minds off of the problems that we have. As black people, what's our problem? We know what our problem is. Our problem is white supremacy. Systematic white supremacy, that is the biggest problem. We should not avoid that. I want black people to get out of the habit of avoiding dealing with white supremacy. We need to deal with this thing head on. See, the white supremacists don't want us, they don't want us focusing on that. And y'all don't want to focus on it either. A lot of black folks don't want to focus on it. But see, the white supremacists, they don't want you to focus on it because they don't want you to figure out a way to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. That's not what they want. They want to maintain the system as long as they can. So they're always trying to deflect and get you to talk about everything else besides them and white supremacy. No, we're going to focus on them. We should focus on them. Look at the picture that's on your screen. It's a black person focusing on suspected white supremacists. That should be us every day. Because see, there's a general rule with the universe. Whatever problem you focus on, you're going to eventually come up with a solution to that problem. You're going to master that problem. You're going to come up with a solution for it. And you're going to be successful. This is why people always try to deter you from that. For a long time, black people were saying things like, we need our own movies, we need our own films to tell our own stories. And the problem was, we were taking our issues to white people, trying to get them to do it. For years, how come white folks can't do nothing, show a movie of us being positive? And then we start complaining about the Oprahs and all these people. How come Oprah and Michael Jordan, because that was the go-to thing for a long time. The go-to thing was, we need Oprah and Michael Jordan. Those were the two biggest names that black folks would always throw up. We need, how come Michael Jordan and Oprah don't build a school for us? How come Oprah and Michael Jordan don't have a TV company for us? Well, Jordan and Michael Jordan and Oprah, I mean, they still work for white people. They're still beholden to white people, even though they have a lot of money. The white people gave them a lot of money, and those come, there's rules with that. When black folks are brought in by the dominant society and they paper you up, one of the rules is you're not supposed to empower other black people, particularly foundational black Americans. You better not empower them. Oh, no, you better not do that. There are rules, even with white people. White people see a force to be on, and you don't have to twist their arm that much, but there are a lot of white people. When they start doing things, individual white people, when they start trying to do things to help black people out, and white people, other white people don't approve, they'll get in trouble too. What's that father, the Father Flager, I think that's his name, out there in Chicago, who for years he's worked with Minister Farrakhan. He's done some pretty good things. They're always white supremacist society. They're always trying to put dirt on the Father Flager out there. He's done a lot of things out there, good things. They shit on him. See, that's the thing. A lot of white people will get in trouble if they, quote unquote, get off code of white supremacy, because see, in the system of white supremacy, they're required to practice anti-black racism. That's a requirement. I want folks to understand that. Anti-black racism in the system of white supremacy is a requirement. That's how serious they are about that. But like I was saying before, black people and white people too, who try to do anything that will empower a group of black folks, that raises the red flags in the dominant society. But you should not be afraid to keep trying to do so, and do so in a codified way. See, we got to be bold about stuff like that. Because like I said, the Oprahs and the Michael Jordans, they get their money from white supremacist society. So they're not going to do anything or put together any type of film or production project that's really going to be too empowering specifically for Black people. They're going to have to mix it in with a bunch of stuff. See, that's where we came in. Us on the grassroots, we said, hey, let's pool our own resources together. I see what the problem is. The problem is, and I focused on the problem for a long time. I asked the question, okay, how come certain multimillionaire celebrities like the Oprahs and all these people, how come they can't really do anything or won't do anything? And I understood that their situation with the dominant white society prevents them to a certain degree. I'm not going to just blame it on the dominant society, because if they really, really wanted to, they would fund some independent projects. They could do some things if they really, really wanted to. But I'm focusing on the problem. I'm looking at the problem, seeing what's going on here. So I came to the conclusion what the problem is where the money is coming from. If money is coming from white mommy, white daddy, white mommy, white daddy is going to call the shots. So I'm going to use my resources and I'm going to get down with the grassroots, and we're going to pool our money together. We're going to do some advanced sales just to test the waters to see how serious people are. And a great opportunity came through crowdfunding. In 2010, I came across a brand new crowdfunding site called Kickstarter, because I wanted to do a film, but I wanted to see how serious people were about supporting a project that talks about Black history, because a lot of us will talk a good game, but sometimes we won't support it. So I said, let me try this new website called Kickstarter. Let's see if we can crowdfund a couple of bucks on here. And if I get my goal, then we'll take this thing to the next level. We reached the goal on there. And then history was made. The Hidden Colors series was produced. And we made history with that. See, that's us looking at a problem, focusing on a problem, and solving that problem. The Hidden Colors series, that's the hands down most popular Black documentary series in history. There's no other documentary series for Black people as popular as Hidden Colors. None. Hands down. And it's 100% independent. And the thing is, because it was sourced and it was grassroots produced, they can't just target one person. They can't say we're going to cut that money supply off. No, because it's a grassroots thing. We all got on code. See, when all the people get on code, when we all get on code, they can't do anything about that. Being on code is a protection mechanism. I want us to understand the importance of being on code, being on the same page, being out here supporting each other, not on no sucker shit, not on no hate shit. Don't just support some because the shit is Black. Support it because it's Black and good. Because a lot of folks will do something janky and be like, hey, look, I just put some bullshit together, but I'm Black, so hook me up. No. We don't need that. We need people to step up to the plate, put together great things, put together great products, great websites, great stores, great entertainment. Whatever you do, be great at it. And your Blackness, that's going to be the icing on the cake. But you're going to have to make the cake good. But focusing on a problem, you'll solve it. And people know that. People are very, very well aware of that. I told a story before when I was in Vegas years ago, when I used to go to Vegas a lot. I used to hit Vegas all the time. And I went to Vegas one time, and I went to one of those little seedy casinos that's in downtown Vegas, not even on the strip. I went to, because some of those little seedy old school casinos in Vegas, them tables be hitting. A lot of folks who go to Vegas know that. You go to some of them little old seedy off the strip casinos, or some of them little low budget casinos, them damn tables hit good. Them casino slots hit good. And I'm at this casino. It's all smoky in there, old ass white people in there, just the geriatric crowd, but I'm on the blackjack table and I'm lighting this table up. I'm super focused on this blackjack table. I was playing blackjack very heavy then, and I was studying blackjack and focusing on the strategies and the rules and the techniques, because even though it's gambling, you have to make educated gambles. So I'm at the table killing the game. I'm on a streak. I'm studying the dealer. I'm laser focused on the dealer's cards. I'm counting them in my mind. I'm seeing how many aces and kings that she is giving out to the table. So I bet hard on that. When I see some big cards on the table, I start betting hard. When I see the big cards are gone and the low cards are coming out, I bet low. So I'm really being strategic with my bets, and I'm making a killing on this blackjack table. I'm on a roll. I'm doubling down, splitting tens. Oh, I'm killing the game. And while I'm on a streak, I'm having like a good 30-minute streak on this table. The pit boss, who works behind the blackjack dealer, he comes up to me and deliberately breaks my focus. And I didn't catch this when it happened, but after the fact, he deliberately broke my focus. He walked up to me and said, "Hey, sir, are you staying at the hotel?" I said, no, I'm not. I'm trying to focus. No, I'm not. "Well, I'm going to give you a comp card. And you, with the comp card, you can get, discounted stays here. You can get free drinks. You can get this. You can get that. You can get free buffets with the comp card." Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. So when I get back to focusing on the game, now I'm trying to regroup. All of a sudden, I start losing, because my focus was taken off just that quickly. I immediately, right after he did that shit, I started losing. Because now, I don't know what's going on now, but for those few seconds, I took my eyes off the card, so I don't know. I forgot what's going on. I forgot if she has any big cards in the deck. I don't know what's going on, but this dude, I realized later, and I got up off the table before I lost a lot of money, and I was like, "This son of a bitch." Then I realized, I said, this is something that they must practice doing when they see somebody on a roll. When they see somebody on a roll, they have to go in here and they got little techniques to break their focus so they don't keep winning all the money. He changed my vibe, changed my frequency. So while I was focused on them, their asses was focused on me. You see? And I was a problem to them. I was winning at this little seedy hotel, this little wholesale hotel casino. I'm killing that damn table. They were like, "Oh no, we got techniques to stop folks from doing that." So they came in and broke my vibe. But this is how important it is for people to try to break your focus. If you focus on something, you're going to come up with a solution. See, this is why they don't want us focusing on white supremacy, and we have to focus on that every day. Family, I'm telling you, if we sit up here and just acknowledge it, look at these folks, study them every single day, we're going to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. We're gonna do it. Because the white supremacists are very desperate right now. They're making a lot of desperate moves. And this whole false black folks attacking Asians nonsense, they're still pushing that heavy. And that's a survival mechanism. Listen, the white supremacists, their numbers are dwindling. They know this. They know their numbers are going in the tank. They know that they're about to be a minority here in the United States and in North America, period. They know this. And they've been knowing this for a while. They were going to try to do some things with the Hispanics. The problem with the Hispanics, there are too many Negro genes in the Hispanic community. They can't really do too much with the Hispanics. You got way too many Negro genes in the Hispanic community. But the thing is, you don't have that in the Asian community. So Asians, they have systematically practiced the same type of anti-black racism and genetic survival that the white supremacists, they pretty much practice. You know, their racism that they learned from the white supremacists is damn near equivalent. Let's keep it a buck. And they're looking out for their own genetic survival. And let's be very clear. A lot of white men like these Asian women because Asian women typically, a lot of brothers don't really get with Asian women too tough. They try to make it seem like it's just the Asian women rejecting brothers. Nah, brothers ain't really checking for too many Asian women like that. There's some cool ones out there. You got some cool ones. But generally, brothers ain't really checking for no Asian chick like that. Generally, because we like ass and all that. It ain't really popping like that. But that's a good thing for the white males, the white supremacist males. Because the thing is, they know that their numbers are dwindling. They cannot count on white women. See, they pretty much charge white women to the game right now because a lot of white women are laying up with brothers, and that's a real big complaint within white supremacist society. They look at a lot of white women as being off code. You know, you got the Kardashians and all this stuff. Now, white women, let's be clear. White women still like the benefits and privileges of white supremacy. Let's be very clear. We still got a bunch of Karens and Mildreds out here. But the thing about Karen and Mildred, the white men know that Karen and Mildred, even though they're middle-aged and older now, when they were Beckys, they were out there bobbing up and down on black dick. White supremacist males, they understand this. They understand. So the thing is, for the young, virile white women, a lot of the young, virile white women, before they become Karens and Beckys, or even if they do become a Karen and a Margaret, they still be bobbing for black dick, but they still like white supremacy. Look at the show's 90 Day Fiancé. You have these old, husky, overweight, middle-aged white women going to Africa, getting brothers, going to Jamaica. That's where the middle-aged white women are going. White women are just, they're renegading real heavy right now. The white women are renegading. Even though they maintain white supremacy, they're still renegading and they cannot be counted on, especially the young white women of childbirthing age. You dig? The young white women, they're too unpredictable. Because the thing is, in white society, white supremacist society, you got a lot of opioids, you got a lot of meth use. So a lot of the white girls are like, well, shit, in my little old hick town, I'm a white girl in a hick town in middle America with a bunch of meth heads and child molesters. You got to understand what these white women are living with. Yeah, I like white supremacy, but damn, I'm not really getting any good benefits from white supremacy. I'm in this boring ass town in Idaho somewhere. The white supremacist males are methed out. They're child molesters. They're on opioids. I'm living in a trailer. So I'm not really getting none out of this whole white supremacy deal. So they're looking at the sports channel and the rap videos, and they're seeing the brothers out here. And they're seeing a lot of these niggas with their little coon cells. When the white women show up, the white women know they got more stock with some of these coon Negroes. But whatever. The white women are like, well, shit, I can get one of them and live better than this. Yeah, I know I got a nigger-hating family, but my nigger-hating family ain't really giving me anything. I'm not getting no benefits out this white supremacy here. And I've been hankering for a little black dick around here, and ain't no brothers around here, so I need to go to New York, Atlanta, Miami. And the white men know this. The white men know this. So they can't count on these white women. The white women are in revolt to a certain degree, but they still, when they get older, they're all about maintaining white supremacy. Because, see, when times get rough, you're going to need every avenue or every advantage you have. And life is hard. When life gets hard and you can use your whiteness, you're going to use that. That's why we get all the Karens. But there was a video up in Canada. There were some cops talking. and they went to some dude's house, and I don't know what it was for, but somebody exposed this on TikTok. They played some white men who were cops. These are cops up in Canada. They were talking about, where is it? They were talking about how the day of the white man is over. Now, this is how they talk when we're not around. Now, hold on. Listen to this. This is kind of deep. Now, these are white men. They didn't know there was a camera on them. Somebody's Ring camera was recording them. They were at somebody's house. Now, listen to these white men. These are cops talking in Ottawa. I think this is Ottawa, Canada. Yes.
Ever since our days are now.
Well, hold on. Wait.
Ever since our days are done, white man's day is done.
He's probably right.
Yeah. No, I think he is right. Yeah. Well, if it's true, the even population of North America is we're in the minority. I think even at this point.
Do you have any information about what was stolen?
If you put all the different groups together.
Yeah. But you go to Toronto, and every couple you see walking by is a mixed couple. I don't see white people together.
He said, I told my son he can find a Chinese or an Asian girl if he wanted to stay in a mixed relationship. Okay, but yeah, I just wanted to play that. This is the stuff that they talk about behind closed doors. This is the kind of stuff they talk about. And with this whole thing, with this phony concern about hate crimes against Asian people, again, what they're doing, they are elevating Asians to the honorary white supremacist status. They're making them honorary Asians. I mean, honorary Aryans. Because the white supremacists are going to have to start procreating with these Asian women to create the Hoppa class. They're going to create all these Keanu Reeves. That's the best they can do. So what they're trying to do is get on code with the Asian community. Even in China, they know that all these Asian countries are pretty hostile to a certain degree. They hold a certain level of hostility, and they're letting them know, hey, come on, look, Asian countries, we need to put all our differences aside because, hey, both of our numbers are dwindling. There's a lot of these blackies out here. We need to be on code to combat them. So what we're going to do in America, we're going to elevate the Asians over here so they can be de facto white supremacists against the blacks. We're going to let you treat the blacks any kind of way. Right now, the laws are just getting draconian. Right now, it's getting so crazy now. And remember, Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, who we're watching the trial now, he was with an Asian chick. His chick was Asian. A lot of these white supremacist killers, the alt-right and the Richard Spencers, all these dudes would date Asian women. They're letting the Asian community know, okay, let's get on code. And how do we get on code? By punishing these blackies. That's how we get on code. They're using every means necessary, all types of white not say so excuses to use Asians as a battering ram against black people. I mean, they're just digging for anything to call anti-Asian. The rapper Exhibit, he has a form of weed called napalm. They made some of the weed dispensaries pull his napalm weed because they said that was offensive to Asians because of the napalm that the white supremacists dropped on Asians during Vietnam. The blame is going to be put on Exhibit for making some weed named napalm. This is how desperate they are, guys. This is desperate. This is all about punishing the blackies. And family, in New York, this is how heavy it's gotten. We all know the fake hate crimes that the police are most likely orchestrating up there. And by the way, in New York, New York has a history of hiring homeless black people to do police lineups in New York. Do y'all know that? In New York City, the NYPD, they have a long history of going to homeless shelters and giving homeless black people 10 or 20 bucks to go down to the station and appear in a lineup. You know, when y'all see these police lineups on TV and all that stuff, you got to understand where the other people going. Where do they get these people for the lineup? A lot of them are not other criminals. You notice when they do these lineups, a lot of the people have on plain clothes. Because if they brought out other people in jail, the victim or whoever who's watching the lineup, they're going to know the people who are in county blues. They're going to know that they really most possibly didn't do the crime, because if they're already locked up, you know, that means they weren't there for the crime. So who are they getting? You got to think about this. Who are they getting for these lineups? They're getting homeless black people to do that. They've been doing it for years in New York. And I know some black folks told me in New York, even if you ain't homeless, I've had black people in New York tell me, hell, when I was, hey, dude, I was a teenager in New York, man, and they would come to the school and offer us money to stand in a lineup. They would go to schools to get black students after school to give them a little money to go stand in a damn police lineup. Y'all better understand how cold these folks are, man. Y'all better understand how cold these folks are. So do you think that these people will give a homeless person $10, $20 to go stand in a lineup, but you think they won't give that same homeless person $100 or a nice good crack rock to go do a quote-unquote hate crime? Oh, yes, they would. Oh, yes, they would. They would do that. And in New York, the other day, they just arrested a black woman who went into a nail shop or whatever, and she got into an argument, and there just happened to be a plainclothes undercover cop there who was Asian, which is, this story is really out of this world. So they said that she made some anti-Asian slurs, saying that's why y'all brought the coronavirus or whatever. I don't know. This is what they said she said. But they said her verbal ranting was considered an attack. Do you know they arrested that black woman? They arrested a black woman for verbally attacking somebody. I want to know how this plays into the First Amendment. See, now we're getting into some Nazi Germany type stuff. See, we better be on code heavy, and we better be ready for this. When they start locking you up based on something you said to somebody, allegedly, because even that sounds fishy, but even if she did say it, white folks come up to us and call us all types of niggas, blackies, coon. They call us everything under the sun and nothing. You don't see any white people getting arrested for saying something to us. See, this is a very serious precedent, guys. And remember, this is done under the Democrats. Black people, all y'all people who voted for Biden, y'all really need to be ashamed, guys. This is very serious. This is a problem that we should look at and focus on. And we should take this to them and focus on them directly. Focus on the police departments who do this. Focus on the prosecutors who do this. Focus on the legislators who do this. Y'all need to be on them about stuff like this. This is Nazi type of stuff, guys. Y'all better be prepared. Because these are I'm white and I say so laws. Now you're getting locked up because you said something somebody didn't like, while these Asians are beating you down and nothing happens to them. You see? And black folks, you're going to have to stop co-signing the narratives that's being put out there. See, we got too many black folks off code, especially a lot of foreign tethers and a lot of church coons in our community, in the foundation of black community. The church coons are the worst. They're the ones who are out here. You see these ministers talking about they're going to stand in solidarity with Asians against hate. That's a wrong thing to do, because this is a propaganda campaign against black people. And when y'all Negroes go out there, you legitimize it. What y'all need to be doing is calling out the anti-black undertone of all of this stuff. Because see, what happens is it's going to be the same thing as the 94 crime bill. During the 94 crime bill, when they were making that up, black folks weren't trying to have no damn crime bill. But the Congressional Black Caucus and all the Boule tethered Negroes, they were the ones co-signing Biden and all these folks. And they got some of the church Negroes who the community were opposing. The church Negroes, like, we need to stop all this crime. The community as a whole were like, no, we don't need to be police like that, though. We need, you know, resources, jobs, opportunities, so we ain't out here slinging. The last thing we wanted was a damn crime bill that was going to lock everybody up. Nobody wanted that. But the narrative now, you have a lot of these Democrat Negroes running around talking about where the black community had wanted the crime bill, and Bill Clinton and all those guys try to say that. Well, we did a crime bill because black folks wanted a crime bill. No, the hell we didn't. And they're going to try to do the same thing with this anti-Asian hate crime propaganda that they're badgering us with. Because it's going to devastate us. They're going to start locking black folks wholesale, locking them up wholesale in New York, San Francisco, places like that, in the Bay Area. It's going to go down. They're working on it right now. That's why I told black folks, y'all need to start getting insurance. Y'all need to start getting prepaid lawyers, prepaid bail bondsmen, the whole shebang, networks of other black people where we can pool money and resources together to combat this, because it's coming heavy. And they're going to end up blaming preachers. Well, it was the black community, you know, when we had those laws against black people for harming Asians. I mean, yeah, we'd have locked up almost all the black men and the black women in the black community, but black people wanted that. Remember, Rihanna was out there marching. All the athletes was out there marching and complaining. The preachers was to see. They use these Negroes as the excuse for doing it. You dig? They're using them as the excuse for doing it. And they have to punish all of us as a group. Just like in New York, they fired these black doormen because they didn't jump into the fight when they had one of these homeless people orchestrate and carry out one of these anti-Asian attacks, quote unquote. So the black people who were standing around, they're going to fire them for not getting involved. Family. These are things we cannot ignore. This is setting a precedent. So if a crime is going to happen, they're using the one big nigga rule on us. We got to start calling that out heavy. Black people, the Democrats should be done for us right now. Not another black person should not even patronize any conversations from a damn Democrat at this point. What they're doing now, they have completely turned on us. The Democrats were put in office by black people, so they say. They told black people specifically, you're not going to do a damn thing for us. Family, do y'all know they just allocated $2 billion or something like that for illegal immigrants up there in New York? If you're an undocumented immigrant and you can't find no work because of COVID, they got like $10,000, $15,000 checks for them. Not a dime for us. And remember, right now they have incentivized a lot of these police agencies to come after black people. They've incentivized them. They got all types of millions of dollars that they're giving to local police agencies to step up this false crime wave that black people are supposed to be committing. They're getting money for this thing, and they're being incentivized by the federal government, by the Biden administration. Family, we tried to warn you guys about the Biden administration. We tried to tell you that wasn't a good look. But we have to learn things the hard way. See, black folks, we got this thing where we just do anything and just hope for the best. That's a mentality we're going to have to start getting out of. We're going to have to start strategically planning and not just doing dumbass shit and hope that nothing bad happens from us doing dumb shit. When I talk to people on social media about having skills, I always ask questions. Black people, let's say the white supremacists all disappear tomorrow. As black people, what are we going to do to maintain society? Where are our rocket scientists? Where are the people who know how to work the power grids? Where are the people who know how to work the satellites? Where are our astrophysics? Where are our doctors? Who's going to maintain these hospitals? Who's going to maintain the telecommunication systems? Where are our people for that? And I get a lot of folks talking about, well, man, we figured that shit out. We figured it out, goddamn. See, that's hood rat talk. We just wait till some shit pop up and then we'll figure it out when we get to it. When it gets here. That's hood rat talk. That's how hood rats think when it comes to fucking everybody. You fuck a bunch of niggas and like somebody say, hey, you fucking all these niggas raw, you might get pregnant. Well, damn it, I figured out if I get pregnant, I'm gonna work it out. I know I'm on Section 8 already. If I get pregnant, I figure it out. Shit. We hope for the best and we're gonna pray to the Lord and I figure it out. We better get off that we'll figure it out later stuff. We need to be figuring it out now. We need to be figuring this stuff out now. We need to be serious about power and how we're going to maintain power. This is why I figured out how to have a grassroots media network so that we can relay information to each other without having to depend on the dominant society. I saw that that was important in order to get information out. So we need to have that in all areas of activity. We need to be right now figuring out, what if all the white supremacists disappeared? What if just another disease came, just like COVID? Remember, COVID just kind of popped up. It was and still attacking white people. See, they make it seem like this is something that, well, black people are more predisposed. There's nothing genetic about COVID that we're predisposed to. We're predisposed to COVID and other diseases because of lack of damn funds. We don't get good health care. So our problem is based on white supremacy racism, not genetics. So this COVID thing really hit white people real hard. And speaking of COVID, what's that sister's name? This journalist, she was a CNN commentator. She retweeted some of the stuff that I tweeted before. So her and I, we were kind of cordial. She was a Haitian sister. What was her name? I can't think of her name. It starts with an M. Somebody help me out. What's that sister's name? Her name starts with an M. You know, she's clicked in with all the Joy Reads and all that. And Joy Reid blocked me for some reason on Twitter. I don't really tweet Joy Reid. Joy Reid's a little musty ass blocked me for some reason. That was random. Like, Joy Reid, if you're listening, Joy, I don't follow you, nor do I retweet you. So, I don't. Midwin. Yes, her name was Midwin. Midwin Charles. How old was Midwin? She was late 40s, right? How old was Midwin, guys? She was in her late 40s. So Midwin, unfortunately, the sister just died, just mysteriously died. And there were a lot of well wishes and, you know, a lot of people liked her. A lot of the Democratic folks liked her. A lot of the folks who were black folks who worked at CNN and all the MSNBC and all that, they liked her. Midwin Charles. And everybody's wishing well, and yes, well wishes. But I'm looking and I'm like, wait, nobody's saying what her cause of death is, and nobody's speculating. Why would a relatively, yes, she's 47. She was 47. Why would a relatively young black woman at 47 die? Black women don't be dying like that. Black women be living for a long ass time. Black women don't be dying at no damn 47. That's really, really weird. And black women do not be dying at no damn 47. That's very weird. And I'm like, well, damn, ain't nobody gonna say what the hell was the, what was the cause of death? And that's very sad, RIP to that sister, but nobody's talking about the cause of death. And we look back at some of her tweets from a month ago. She was like, hey, I just got the vaccine. I feel great. Okay. I'm not saying, okay. Yeah, she got the vaccine last month. I ain't saying that. And I posted that tweet. I didn't say that was the cause. I just said, wow, look at this tweet right here. And you had all the Biden sexuals. Oh, come on now. We don't know what it is. Now, we don't know. We don't know what it is. We don't know what happened. We let her family grieve now. Shut the hell up. Every time somebody take that damn thing and they mysteriously die, y'all say the same thing. We don't know when Hank Aaron died. We don't know. Just because he took the damn vaccine, that don't mean nothing. That don't mean a goddamn thing now. Biden doing the right thing and Kamala is too. Let her family grieve now. Sambos, when Marvin Hagler, they said he took it, then he died. Oh Lord, it ain't got nothing to do with that now. No, that, y'all insinuating some things. Y'all is insinuating? Uh-uh. Biden would not do that to us. Biden wouldn't do that. Biden love us. Sambos. You know who you are. Speaking of Sambos, guys, did y'all see that that sports coach, what's his name? What is that coach's name? Who was, hold on, Hubert Davis. So he's the coach of some school, right? They have him as the head coach or something. And family, this Negro start talking about how he's proud to be black, and then for no reason at all, he mentioned his white wife, and everybody was confused. Listen to this. Hold on. Come on, thank shit.
Significant, Steve. It's significant that I'm African American and I'm the head coach here. It's significant. I know that in terms of Division I head coaches all around the country, only 26% of the head coaches for Division I men's basketball are compromised by minorities, specifically African Americans. I know that it is significant that I'm the fourth African American head coach in any sport in the history of the University of North Carolina. I'm very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm very proud that my
nigga. What? Hold on. Wait, come on. God damn, dang.
Yeah. Very proud to be African American, but I'm also very proud that my wife is white. And I'm very proud that my three beautiful, unbelievable kids are a combination of both of us.
And people are like, nigga, what was that? Nobody asked him about his wife. Nobody asked dude about his wife. He just wanted to volunteer that information that his wife was white and he's proud that she's white. No matter how you cut that, boy, that's coonery. That's coonery on every side of the chessboard, man. That's coonery on every single side of the chessboard. You can't cut that no other way. That came out of nowhere. That just shows you the value that these Negroes put on these white women. That shows you where this Negro's value system is. See, we got to get that value system where y'all just want to lay up with a damn white woman just for laying up with her. Y'all can't put that much value on some mediocre bullshit. That don't mean nothing. I really want folks to get that coon gene out of them. Nigga, just because you lay up with somebody, you make that your value system, that's your motivating force? Some niggas are so motivated by laying up with a white woman. I mean, damn. That's like the ultimate ring for Sonic the Hedgehog to these niggas. So no wonder they'll make a Negro like that the head coach. They know this Negro is compromised. They know he's not going to jeopardize being in a white space. See, we got to get that mentality out of here. We got to start thinking in terms of controlling things. We got to value running shit as black people. Not trying to be a do-boy for white supremacy. Because right now, they're in survival mode right now. Like I said, they're protecting Asians. The white supremacists, they're making them honorary Aryans. They're using every group against us. Y'all know Teen Vogue, a few weeks ago, they fired this sister because they found some old tweets of hers where she said, oh, wow, I have puffy Asian eyes. So she was saying stuff like that. So they were like, hey, that's anti-Asian, so we're going to fire you. But there's another staff member there who's Asian, who's all on her Twitter. They found tweets of her talking about nigga this, yeah, nigga. And people are like, hey, wait a minute. How come y'all ain't firing her? So they haven't fired the Asian one all on her Twitter yelling nigga. They haven't fired her. So Teen Vogue was very quiet. And now what they did, they just got a new black editor. And y'all know she's the Tether. They went and got a Ghanaian Tether to do some splaining. So this is the game they play. These folks are not playing the game fair. They're playing the same anti-black racism game and flipping it on us. See, they're making the victims seem like the aggressors. These folks are waging an all-out war on us, and we're getting it from every group. I told y'all this was going to happen. I said, look, Trump is not as bad as Biden. With Trump in office, if Trump was still in office, we wouldn't be dealing with none of this stuff. We could deal with the white supremacists. That's easy. That's light work, just dealing with them. But with the Democrats, we got to deal with the white supremacists. I told people we're going to have to deal with the anti-black Asians, anti-black Hispanics, anti-black LGBT, all these other groups. And that's exactly what's happening, guys. And speaking of LGBT, Paul Pierce, former athlete, he was a commentator on ESPN. He was having a party at his crib, a private party. It was a bunch of strippers there. They were turning up. The strippers back there popping it. They were turning up. Do y'all know ESPN fired him? They fired Paul Pierce. And Paul was like, you know, he's laughing it off, and that's good. He ain't tripping on it. But they fired that dude. And what's interesting, just a few weeks ago, the white media was praising Lil Nas X for twerking on Satan. The white corporate media put out a video of Lil Nas X bopping his bussy on Satan. So they're just parading that around. But with Paul Pierce, with a bunch of strippers twerking and him enjoying himself, they're like, you're going to have to go. The problem is black heterosexuality, that's a problem. Y'all better always look at this in the context of race. Paul Pierce did something that black men are not supposed to do. You're not supposed to show your heterosexuality. Now, you can be, if you're gay, LGBT, a black person, you can lick and slob on other men all day long. That's not a problem. Black men have to be on their sexual P's and Q's, especially if they're single. See, white society, they like, if they do have a heterosexual black man, they want him married. They don't want him as a swinging singles dude. Just like white actors. Like white actors in Hollywood, they love the single playboy. They love the Leonardo DiCaprios and the single white males, the Hollywood playboys. They love that. They do not like that when it's a single black man who's heterosexual. They do not like that. This is a war on black masculinity. So they like their athletes married. They don't like them showing any open displays of affection with their black wives or even the white wives. They don't like them being openly affectionate with their significant others. That's why you never see that. Notice with black men in sports, you don't ever see them all embracing their black wives like that. You see it with LeBron to a certain degree, which is good. But they don't really, especially in football, they really don't show that. They'll show the black men with their mamas. They'll show that. They'll show you, you know, almost in a childlike way. But they don't like to show them with their wives. And if they do, it's some funny style stuff like Gabrielle and D-Wade. They like to show that because that whole situation, it looks different. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan better be careful. Michael B. Jordan better be real careful. He better be very careful out here. They don't like no bachelors, especially displaying heterosexual tendencies. Paul Pierce sitting around all those women being a straight black man. That's too threatening. No, we got to punish him. We got to neuter him. I put up a clip on my social media, guys. It was a dude, I think he's a rapper. I forgot what the dude's name is, but he's a bisexual rapper. He's a black dude. He's a bisexual rapper. And this brother was talking about living in foster care and how he was treated in foster care. And talking about how when he started talking about how he liked boys, they rolled out the carpet for him. Now, listen to this brother here. I forgot what the brother's name, but he's a bisexual local rapper from somewhere. I forgot what the brother's name is, but listen.
Hold on. You know, people in the black community are saying, like, the LGBTQ are getting a lot of shit done for them than the black community. They have, like, advanced way more than the black community.
Oh, that's fucking true.
So that's true?
Oh, that's fucking true. I have gotten way more help as a bisexual man than I ever have as a black man. Wow. And I grew up in foster care. I've gotten way more help, even in the foster care system. I would not get any help until I went. Even in these different centers they would have me in, they would have me in substandard living. They'd be treating me like shit. The therapist wouldn't give a fuck. You know when they started to give a fuck? When I was 11 and I went, I like boys too. That's when they started to give a fuck. That's when they started funding me. That's when they started putting me in the young lawyer programs and buying me suits to go to governor's balls. And they gave a fuck when I was a little black bisexual boy.
Yeah.
But they didn't give a fuck when I was just a black boy. Not at all. And to be honest, they still didn't give a fuck because I was still black. So once they found a alternative to the black bisexual boy, they chose that. But yeah, hell yeah. When I go to a new city, because I travel a lot, like I told you, I would literally throw a dart at the map and go. When I go to go to the nearest major city, go to that major city, I find an LGBT center because there's going to be one. There ain't no center for a black person to go to. You drop into a new city. You need to know what's the what of this city. Where do you as a black person drop into that they, that's what they focus on. Helping black people be all right. There's somewhere in every major city you got that for gays. It's an LGBT center in every major city.
All right. Yeah, that's heavy. You know, the brother was dropping some real good game here. You know, he's basically admitting, you know, to being buck broken. This is how buck breaking is real, guys. Family, the buck breaking movie, man, this is the most important movie since the Hidden Colors series, because that was important too. But this is so important and relevant right now, man. We got to really debrief our people of this agenda, man. This agenda is so real. This agenda is so damn real. And we just have to be on top of our game and warn and protect each other because of this stuff. But the thing is, we got to focus on our problems. We have to focus on how to use counter-racism strategies against these white supremacists. Because see, what they're doing now, especially in New York, they're using the black threat propaganda in order to galvanize white people and Asian people and everybody else. This is an old strategy, especially in New York. Even going way past New York, I mean,
during the Jim Crow era, they would always use scare tactics, saying that black people are coming to get white folks. We have to do something. We have to galvanize to stop the black invasion. This is something that they've been doing. The modern version of this, they started doing that in New York with Ed Koch. In New York, in the 70s, as we know, they started to gentrify and funnel black people into all of these deprived areas, and they started to deprive the resources of the black areas, like the South Bronx. They moved all the white people to the North Bronx and left the black people in the South Bronx, and they started to cut all the city services in New York. They started to cut services for sanitation, maintenance, everything. They just started to cut city services. So the Bronx started to look like a damn war zone. They wouldn't clean it up. The black people in the community didn't have the resources to really clean it up because they were losing their jobs. And then they started to flood the place with immigrants, particularly Puerto Rican immigrants and Jamaicans, but really a lot of immigrants started to get flooded in that area. And then the landlords, because they saw the property values going down, they're like, well, we're going to torch these buildings. They had a loophole where they lobbied some of the politicians and they would work with the insurance companies, and they had a whole finesse game going on over there in New York where they would torch those buildings and get some black folks to do it, kick them a couple of dollars and get them to do it. And remember, in the 70s, they were blaming the black people for torching the buildings in New York. You had people like Daniel Moynihan talking about, well, there's a pathology with black people. That's why they be torching buildings. They were doing the same thing then that they do now. The white people would do something and then blame the black people. They were blaming black people for the buildings being torched in New York. Well, oh, they're just so animalistic. Well, you know, these Negroes brought that upon themselves. They just don't know how to act. They just don't know how to keep a community. But you had all these landlords burning the buildings. And from what I understand, they got, I mean, some of the insurance companies paid out like $45 million. In today's money, that's $200,000. So insurance companies just in the Bronx, they paid out the equivalent of $200 million in insurance claims to these white landlords who were torching these buildings. And nobody was going to jail for none of those buildings being torched. The white people didn't go to jail. Some of the black folks did. I mean, that was a whole racket that everybody was in on. The police knew what was up to. Everybody was in on it. Everybody was in on the racket. So they were depriving the people there. But the thing is, the universe works in mysterious ways. The universe and the ancestors work in mysterious ways, because see, the thing is, when black people, when we're left alone, we start finding ways to thrive. See, when we have a problem and you leave us alone, we start figuring the problem out. Let's go back to Tulsa. See, when Tulsa, Oklahoma started to thrive because the white people just kind of left the black folks alone for a long time. They just said, okay, y'all go over there to the Greenwood, Archer and Pine area. We don't want to see you niggas. So black folks were over there by themselves, and they started thriving. See, Foundation of Black Americans, see, we don't want to be, generally, we don't like being up under white mommy, white daddy. When we get away from white mommy, white daddy, we start thriving. So they started to figure out ways to circulate their money and build up their economy. And then when white people came back around that area, they were like, hey, what's all these damn mansions doing here? What's all these niggas doing in cars? I don't have a car. I'm still with a horse and carriage. Why this nigga has a damn, he has a car? Oh no, we gotta find a way to get rid of this, because this might spread to other cities. You see, but when you leave us alone, we start figuring things out. And see, that's what happened in the Bronx. See, the Bronx was so toe up and devastated, the police didn't even bother to go up there. They knew the fires and stuff. Hell, the fire department stopped going up there for a long time. They would just let the fires burn. If you're old enough, you remember there was a World Series game where the World Series was on, and they were playing in the Bronx. I think this was 77. I want to say that. All my New Yorkers, you can correct me. But in the middle of the World Series game in the Bronx, it was a damn building burning in the back. And people are like, that kind of embarrassed the city of New York. People are like, damn, New York, what the hell is going on out there? There was a World Series game with a damn building burning in the back. So that embarrassed the whole upper echelon of New York. Some of y'all from New York might remember that. But see what happened, the fire department stopped coming, the cops started, they stopped coming to New York, to the Bronx, they stopped coming up there. So what happened, folks started to figure out how to rectify their problems. They started to figure it out. And see, when you start working on your problems and then circumstances throw you a bone. Whoa, hold up, whoop. See my phone line, I didn't know my phone line was on, let me turn that off. Hold on, let me turn my phone lines off. I didn't know that was on. Sorry about that, guys. So yeah, in 1977, again, you had black folks in the Bronx, just in the Bronx by themselves. Nobody's bothering them. Nobody's helping them, but nobody's bothering them. So now dudes can go get their equipment and set up at the park. You can go set up and run an electrical cord through a light pole, and there was no cops bothering you. So you can go to a rooftop, set your equipment up and just have a party, get some shit popping, and nobody's gonna come and shut you down. So now you have another culture growing now. So now you got the hip hop culture that's being cultivated and growing because it's not being hindered. And then in 1977, the ancestors threw a bone to the black community with that blackout. There was a big blackout in New York. When that blackout happened, people started to get their reparations packages. People were hitting up stores in New York left and right, getting equipment. That blackout right there, that blackout helped spread hip hop around the world. After that blackout, hip hop took over because then everybody had equipment in the Bronx. See, in the Bronx, only a handful of people had equipment. It was only like three or four crews out there because nobody had no money. Nobody had no money for no speakers and no turntables and mixers. Nobody had money for that. But when that blackout happened, cats were going, hitting up all of the radio stores, the mixer stores, getting records, getting mixers, getting speakers, getting turntables. They were getting a bunch of equipment. And then right after that, crews all over the place, hip hop exploded right after that. That was the ancestors making a correction. See, that's how I look at it. The ancestors were making a correction because the people had been so aggrieved. They were down there burning up people's homes, forcing the people to live in slum areas, forcing the people to be impoverished, and then circumstances happen that help people get up out the ghetto. They created a culture that helped to feed a lot of people who were aggrieved. That was the ancestors. You understand? I look at it like that. Now, see, the white supremacists get mad. See, I don't think like them. So I don't think like them. I'm thinking of the ancestors correcting something because the folks shouldn't have been in that goddamn situation anyway. We're not going to talk about morals and all that. And y'all sat up there burning the fucking buildings of those innocent people, starving them out, depriving them of jobs, taking their resources, cutting the school programs. They shouldn't have put people in a goddamn situation like that. Thank you, ancestors, for that damn blackout. I thank the ancestors for that blackout in New York. No justice, no peace. Y'all not gonna just let one group suffer. Everybody suffers. And what's interesting, after the blackout, nobody got killed. That was another thing. Everybody was just they were hitting up stores. They were getting resources. Nobody got killed in that blackout. I don't think one person got killed. And it was a huge situation, but they looted the shit out of everything. This was an economic come up. This wasn't about getting revenge or nothing. It was about economics and resources. You understand? So going back to Ed Koch used that. That's what kind of got Ed Koch, that got him elected, because he ran on the, hey, look, I'm going to be tough on these niggas. I'm going to be tough on them. Y'all elect me. All these niggas are coming to get you. Next time, they ain't going to be stealing equipment. These niggas are going to be raping and robbing you. It was that whole shebang. But by that time, the hip-hop game had exploded, man. And that thing has resonated to this day. It's been a huge moneymaker for black people. See, this is why we got to be ready. When you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. We got to focus on our problems, because if we focus on our problems and we get ready to solve our problems, sometimes circumstances in the universe will throw you a bone. And we better get ready for that damn bone. You understand? You better be ready for that. You never know what great circumstance might come your way. A lot of folks don't be prepared for a good situation. But anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad everybody tuned in. I'm going to holler at you guys on Sunday's broadcast. Don't forget, man, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Go to OfficialFBA.com, ladies and gentlemen. Go to OgunJuice.com, ladies and gentlemen. And you guys have a wonderful and phenomenal evening.